Hi, hello, Wiffle Nation, and welcome to the 2021 National Wiffle Wiffy Award Show. And let's meet everybody. We got Sam, the Snowman Skibby Commissioner of the Skibby Wiffle Ball League and the NWA Tournament All-Time Home Run Leader with 40 home runs. What's up, Sam?
Carl, I'm doing great. You know, love saying your name before I say another sentence after it, so we're going to be saying that a lot throughout the day, and I appreciate you for hosting yet again the 2021 version of the National Wiffle Wiffy Award Show.
Also with us is Tom G, the Wiffle Elf. He's a Stompers legend and friend of T. Wyatt Zeuspan. How you doing, Tom?
I am doing, Carl.
And I'm Triple C, Christmas Carl Coffee. Listen, before we dive in, we have 7 awards to give out, but I want to ask both of you guys questions. You guys are huge figures in the Wiffle scene. I'll ask Sam first. What is your favorite Wiffle moment of 2021?
It was a big year for Wiffle. There was a lot of great tournaments, a lot of great events, new events that were popping up here and there. I had the birth of my daughter, so at the very same Friday that Hometown Cup happened, so I couldn't make it to Hometown Cup this year. But I'm going to go, I have two for you, Carl. A playing one, and then, just something that happened, as a director of a tournament or a league. But my playing one was actually hitting a go-ahead in the park grand slam off of the Maw Scumlords in the NWLA tournament. People could say it was a double with some throwing errors, but I mean, I ran all the way around the bases, cleared them, and we won 7-3. So I think that was my favorite playing moment, just getting the bench hyped up, everybody running around those bases as fast as this 34-year-old body could take me. And It was a fun moment, and to do it off of Noah Silverman and a really great pitcher and a really great team was something exciting for me in my old age and my career. But as a tournament director, something fun, our league was featured in the local news station here on Channel 5, so the NBC station, the affiliate. And we were finally featured. You've been in talks with different affiliates of news for a while, and it was cool for the news station to come out there. And I'm actually still in talks with the reporter that came out and seen him a couple times, and they're really excited to possibly come back for season 20 coming up this next year. So I think that was something really cool that we could show our community and show off a little bit what we've been doing.
Bingo. Listen, it's been quite a year, Tom. Juggernauts winning Maw, UWIFs, GBL finally winning an NWA tournament, Yonkman in 3 Grand Slam championships, AWA, more views than MLW. Who would have thought? A lot of great things. I did a top 10 Wiffle moments of this year. Tom, what do you got for your favorite moment?
My favorite Wiffle moment was in Mid-Atlantic Wiffle during the wild card tournament. I hit a home run off Colin Prentice, and we beat the Goon Squad. I also threw a shutout against them. It was a great revenge game. That was my first time ever beating the Goon Squad, and they also shelled me pretty bad earlier in the season. So that was pretty gratifying. And the other weird thing about that moment is that it was the end of the wildcard tournament. It was like, the last playoff bid. So it wasn't like the championship or anything, but it was the last game of a tournament. So like almost felt like winning a championship, even though we were like the fourth best team on the day. And then another one I'll say is here in PLW, we won the championship for the fall season, which also clinched having 3 different champions for the 3 different seasons, which I think is good for competitive balance.
Tom G, your Twitter profile says 30-time Wiffle champion. Is that correct? Or is it more now?
No, it's 30, but granted, at least 20 of those are kind of Mickey Mouse tournaments that I've won. But, there's at least 5 or 6 of them that are pretty legit.
Let's dive into the Wiffy Award. I always thanks, Sam, for keeping this going back in the NAA glory days. It was something that, goodness, I forgot his name. Who used to run the NAA? What was his name? Man.
John Converse.
Yes, my gosh. John Converse. He was so thorough.
Man, it's a good thing we have Sam on this.
No,
otherwise we would have never got that.
John Converse, I had him on my phone. He just stopped replying to my text. I don't know what happened to him. I hope he's still alive. But Sam kept it going, And I thank him for that. It wasn't easy. You can go on National Wiffle. You can see the history of it. It's awesome. So I appreciate Sam for keeping it going, and I appreciate him for keeping me involved in the award show. So the first one is National Rookie of the Year, Sam and Tom. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to name last year's winner. I'm going to go through the nominees, name some stats. Tom's going to kind of maybe predict who should win, and then Sam will announce the winner, and we'll go from there. You guys ready?
Ready.
Bingo, bango. Rookie of the Year, like I said, last year, Cole Lanny from Will won, and here are the nominees. The Peanut Guy, Peanut, HRL, 420 batting average, was fifth in HRL. Big offensive star for the Trash Pandas, but not a great pitcher. Brandon Boas, Ridley Park. You guys know Ridley Park. His offensive numbers were below average, but pitching, 5-0, 1.02 ERA, 0.78 whip. Guys, where are these pitchers coming from in Ridley Park? Every year they just spawn new pitchers. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, where are these? What's in the water at Ridley Park? Because every year, just another new pitcher just comes out of nowhere. And Steve
youth,
Schultz,
youth,
horrible.
Carl.
Youth, yes. 40 home runs, 75 hits. Played for the Goon Squad. He's kind of right before that first tier of super sluggers and Orrible. So, basically, there's two big hitters and one big pitcher. So, Tom G., what do you got? Who do you think should win this?
I'm going to go with Peanut. I like his batting average. It's one of my favorite numbers.
420.
And I just want to also throw out here, I think it probably he's a nominee for Player of the Year. I think that's why he's not in this. But Taylor Briner, one of the best wiffle ball players I've ever seen in his first year. Kind of ridiculous. Clearly the best player out here in Vegas. And I can't wait to see him play in some more tournaments.
Well, I didn't know he was a rookie. He's a rookie, really?
Yeah, he found wiffle ball, I think, in March or something.
Impressive. I'm
And he's been dominant ever since. And he throws 100 miles per hour.
Goodness
so
gracious.
Hopefully I'm going to get him out to fast pitch.
All right, so that's the first Premier League wiffle plug from Tom G. If you guys are counting, that's one. All right. Sam, it's
on. No, that's actually the second one. I plugged him for the moment of the year, too.
Fair enough. Who wins the Rookie of the Year, Sam?
You know, as just to allude to what Tom said with the West Rookie of the Year, Taylor Briner, obviously the nominee for West Player of the Year we'll get to later, but the West Rookie of the Year went to somebody else. Maybe it was just, you know, the voters didn't want to vote for him for every single one because, I mean, Tom, that dude can play. He was, like, in every category for the West region. Like, he was...
Yeah, he's a superstar. He's the best player in Las Vegas. We played three 40-game seasons, and he's still clearly the best player out here. I mean, it's not by accident.
Yeah, that's amazing, and it's going to be exciting to see what PLW can do. And Hideaway Field, the Whiffy Award for Field of the Year. Were they excited about that?
Oh, very. I think a lot of the guys out here didn't realize that other people, like, knew that we were a league, even though they kind of, like, you know, vaguely have seen MLW stuff and stuff that I repost. So I think it's really cool for them seeing the recognition, and I think hopefully that'll help draw them out to some of these tournaments. I'm pretty sure I'll get them out to NWA. Especially Taylor. I want to get him out there.
Sorry, Carl. We hijacked that conversation. Back to the National Rookie of the Year. You know, all three of these guys received first place votes. So, you know, it was a kind of an evenly matched voting from our voters this year. But it's going to go to an overwhelming favorite was Brandon Boas from Ridley Park. And he, obviously, a fantastic pitcher. As you mentioned, 8-0 in Ridley Park. I mean, that's right there shows you how amazing this guy is his first year. And I believe he played in United Wiffle as well, and we're going to be seeing him a lot in the future, I'm sure, for Ridley Park and Ma and United Wiffle. So Brandon Boas is our first winner in the National Wiffy Podcast Show.
I like it. Pitching trumps hitting in Wiffle. Well deserved. Good job, BB. Next up, Character of the Year. I think I might have won this before. Last year.
You have won this one.
Luke Miffy 5 Thompson from HRL 1. We got four nominees, guys. Trent Steffes, the Minnesota man, the guy who creates jerseys for, goodness gracious, 80% of wiffle ball. That might be a low number. Chris Newman from Wisconsin. He helped out with some NWA tournament streams on his own. He travels with the meets. Big time figure. Jimmy Norp, maybe the second most recognizable name in MLW behind Kyle Schultz. And of course, Food Man, the voice of Golden Stick and U-Whiffs. Four big names, Tom G. This is a toss up. You could put all four of these guys' names in a hat, pick one out, and I'd be happy with whoever wins. So, who do you think wins? Who do you want to win?
Jimmy Norp was on TBS. Come on, Carl. Next question.
Wow, okay. Short and sweet. Sam, who wins?
I can be short and sweet with it. Tom was right. Jimmy Norp is the character of the year. I mean, just the way the guy interviews in MLW, his presence in their league, you know, with the Downtown Diamondbacks. You know, I'm an avid watcher of the MLW, and Jimmy has just taken that league by storm. I mean, get Norped is like the phrase for MLW, and his hair and his demeanor when he's playing is just so so exciting to watch. He was a part of one of the plays of the year, those top three plays of the year that we had, the video that came out, jumping over the fence to rob a home run, and just super excited about it afterwards. So Jimmy Norp, you know, all four of these guys, obviously amazing characters, but Jimmy Norp overwhelmingly with first place votes from across all regions. So Jimmy Norp is our character of the year for 2021.
Jimmy Norp.
Sam lied about being short and sweet.
No, that's fine.
Sorry.
Whipple celebrity. Two down, five to go. Now, fielder of the year, this one's always been tough for me. A lot of leagues don't record fielding stats. A lot of it has to do with videos or just the honor system. And last year, Drew Davis from MLW won. And this year, hey, we just talked about him. Jimmy Norp, MLW. And Sam just talked about one of his great plays. Tim McElrath, my goodness. You know, the McElraths had quite the year from Maul and Chris Metter. If you said, Carl, who's the greatest fielder you've ever seen? Who in all your years of Wiffle? I'm a Chris Metter guy. I'm old school. He played some Mo Whiffs Wiffle this year, so he's not only just a Skibby Wiffle guy, he's also a Mo Whiffs guy. And I have something to say, guys. What surprises me, no Orbo guys on this list. And when you think fielding, you kind of think slow pitch, because there's a lot more plays in the field. I know your league, Sam, is not exactly fast pitch. There's a lot of action in the field. I'm a little bit surprised not to see an Orbo guy out there this year. But three great nominees, Tom G. This one's also a toss-up. Some big names. Huge names. What do you have to say?
Well, first I want to say I think the reason that there was no Orbo nominee is that I've never seen a highlight video out of Orbo.
Fair. That's a good point.
I mean, like, I know I mentioned this the last time we talked about Orbo on a podcast, but, like, I don't get it. Like, I want to see what their league's all about. I'm not even really sure what the rules are like.
Tom, can I say something real quick? I've been saying this since 2011, since I started Wiffle Podcasting, so that's an old take, so I'm sorry. Go on.
It's not even that. It's like they're slow pitch, so it's like you just said, they have more fielding opportunities and good plays than any other league. They would probably have the sickest highlight video if they actually put one together. Anyway, I'm done ranting. I'm actually going to go to the other side of the coin, and I'm going to pick Tim McElrath, and here's why. He plays fast pitch, so it's so hard to be ready to field every pitch when, you know, I think in UF I had one fielding opportunity the whole time. So in fast pitch, to be able to make all those plays and be so consistent and just be ready every pitch is just so impressive. So that's why I'm going with Tim McElrath.
Now we look to you, Sam Skibby. These are three big names. Norp just won a big whiffy.
Yeah.
Metter's won this many times. I do not believe anyone from Maul's ever won this. So who wins it this year?
You know, this one was probably the most difficult for our voters. Just looking at the votes and how they came out, you know, what's impressive about Chris Metter's, he won the top fielding award in two leagues that are completely different styles. You know, so that's something just pretty impressive in itself, that you can go in to two different leagues in two completely different styles and win the top fielding award. But if Chris Metter would have played in Ma, where he had to literally throw the ball to home plate, or like Jimmy Norp having to throw to first base, I don't think Chris would have even sniffed the top. You know what I mean? So it's just, that's what we love about these Wiffy Awards. That's what we love about National Wiffle, is that everybody has their own styles, and you can't really, you know, rank people against each other because everybody's so different. Tim McElrath, like Tom said, put together an amazing year on the field for the Juggernauts, both in Maw and in United Wiffle. And Jimmy Norp, obviously, MLW is so different because they play that three outs. They play just like baseball style. Their fielding is so intense because they're not the fastest pitch league in the world, and they're not slow pitch either. So they always have opportunities to make some fantastic plays. And like Tom said, there's highlight reels all over the place with MLW, which is where our voters went. And Jimmy Norp wins not only back-to-back Whiffy Awards for Jimmy Norp, but that is back-to-back MLW National Fielder of the Year. So Jimmy Norp is going to be your Fielder of the Year. And this is coming from, you know, an East Coast voters, where in the East, Tim McElrath was the unanimous decision to be the East Fielder of the Year. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy Norp takes some votes too. So, all three of these guys deserved it, really. But Jimmy Norp will take it home. And it showed in the top 10 video for MLW. He made some amazing plays.
All right, let's rename this show the Jimmy Norp Award Winner
Year of Norp. 2021, the year of Norp.
Was he at the NCAA tournament?
He was, and he hit a home run off of Jackson Crosley in our game against them. And he can play, man. He's a good player in any style.
Yeah, if Cheatham didn't run out of gas, they might actually beat you guys.
Yeah, you know, yours truly hit a home run off of him, you know, Tom. So you know, and that's what happened.
Yeah, that's how I knew he was out of gas.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Jimmy Norp, he's won 2 or 3 awards, and he is not a nominee again, so he's done. He's finished.
Yes.
He's only gonna win 2 of these. Commissioner of the Year, I think I won this long ago. We have 5 nominees. The Cook Brothers from Mall won last year. Of course, they're a nominee again. Also very involved with UWIS. Not just Mall, they're involved with UWIS. Brendan Dudas, Circle City. Come on. His Wiffle accomplishments just continue to grow. Kyle Schultz, MLW. Anything he does, nothing shocks me. He's on national TV. He's getting crazy YouTube, TikTok. And it's Kyle Schultz. Listen. Adam Tanick, Premier League Wiffle, Tom G. Up and coming? No, they're not up and coming. They've arrived. They have instant replays. Oh, my goodness. But I will say Josh Rogers from Missouri, Mo Whiff, these are the new kids on the block. They're up and coming. You know, maybe not his turn yet, but they'll be there. And I actually have some snubs here because we already have 5 commissioners involved. Whenever you say commissioner, I think you have to put the HRO commissioner on this list every year, so I'm kind of disappointed. Dan Huckfin, Duan, whatever his last name is, he should be on here. And also the AWA out of Washington commissioner, Jack Blauhaus. My goodness, he had quite the year. I'd put him on this list as well. But listen, what are you going to do? We got 5 big names. I have 2 snubs. What do you have to say, Tom G?
Well, obviously I'm biased, but I think that it should definitely go to Adam.
Wow.
I think that PLW had the best first year of any wiffle ball league ever, and I don't think it's particularly close. Going back to actually Josh Smith's sort of advice to commissioners episode of Holy Commutes, I think something Adam does really well is he delegates things to different people that he know will be good at completing tasks, so it's not like he's totally overwhelmed, even though he obviously does the most around here. But we have a team of at least 7-8 guys that are doing, you know, stuff every week. Even still, during the off season.
Awesome. Let me know if you're hiring. No, but listen, Sam, this is a big one. 5 nominees. I listed 2 guys who could be on there. They're not. This is a fun award. I mean, you could put yourself on there. I mean, this list could go 20 deep on this. I mean, people who run successful wiffle ball leagues deserve to be on here. It is a thankless job. Anyways. This is a big one. I'm very curious who wins. What do you got, Sam?
Yeah, there's, like you said, Carl, there's a lot of people that could be on this list. And when you go through the nominations list, you really have to go with who had the most, you know, multiple nominations, you know, across different regions as well. And we ended up with these 5. And any of these 5, obviously, these 5 definitely deserve to be here. There's going to be some snubs no matter what category you put it in. 2 that you named fantastic commissioners in their own right. Alex Friedman continued to do great work with Orrible as well. Yeah. But you know, the Tom, you mentioned Adam, and you know, Adam and Josh are first year commissioners for their first year leagues, and both of them to get on this list shows just how great those leagues did turn out in their first year, and they're definitely turning some heads. But the voters went with an old standby, and we are going to go three in a row with MLW. I don't know how you can go against Kyle Schultz, who continues, and this is what's crazy, Carl, and you said it, but he continues, everything he touches turns to gold. And what he does for our sport is unmatched by anybody else. The way he brings these young kids into the game is something that I think is going to continue to help wiffle ball grow for the rest of our lives, you know, because it's going to be Kyle Schultz that's going to be the guy at the helm of this sport for a long time, because he has that following, and he can have a tournament in any city in the entire country and people are going to show up. And even at UWIF, having a Q&A at the opening night of UWIF is crazy. And he had like 50 to 100 people that were all just asking him questions about him and his life and how he started wiffle ball. So it's Kyle Schultz this year. The Cook brothers obviously could have gone another year of being the commissioners of the year, but Kyle Schultz definitely continues to push boundaries and continues to show that he can adapt and change as a commissioner too, which I think is really important. So continues to bring new things.
And I just want to add to that not only can Kyle run a tournament in any city and people will show up, 30 teams will show up. I think he's had at least 30 teams at all these tournaments. I'm really excited to go to the one in Phoenix next month.
All right, so now we have three big winners left: the hitter, the pitcher, and the player of the year. These are the big three awards. Last year, hitter of the year, Kenny Rogers from Maw won. And our nominees this year, Brendan Dudas. Tom, his 116 hits were 23 ahead of the second most. His 49 home runs, 17 more than second best. And his total bases of 281 were 74 ahead of the second most. Not only does he run Circle City, Tom G, he owns Circle City at the plate. The dude could rake. Yeah. Ben Stant, we know what he does. Listen, I heard Maw stats aren't complete on there, but he was, what I saw, he's the hits leader, tied for second in home runs, and he's a top four OPS, Ben Stant, and we know what he did at UWIFs, so he deserves to be here. Evan Sibbett, psych. He led HRL on average 483. 483. You kidding me? He only struck out 17 times in 195 plate appearances. That's impressive. And his 1.636 OPS, second in HRL. These are three big hitters, Tom G. Dudas, Stant, Sibbett. Who should win?
I think Syk should probably win, but I just want to talk about Stant because of that Stantonian home run he hit at UWIFs. That was like, I'm just so glad that I got to see it in person, because on video you can't really even see it. He hit a ball in like off of the upper deck, which was like 25 rows deep. It was like the Mickey Mantle home run that people have estimated at like 575 feet or something. It was the wiffle ball version of that. So I think even though you really should consider the whole season, that one moment, maybe you should just give it to Stant. I'm still going to go with Sibbett, though.
Yeah, I mean, Sibbett and Dudas, they both play yellow bat leagues. Stant plays fast pitch, scuff, big barrel. So you say, hey, who is the best big barrel hitter this year? It's Stant, right?
Yeah.
So now we go to Sam. Three big hitters, all deserving to win this. Mm-hmm. Who wins?
You know, you talk about Dudas first, and Dudas had, I think he broke the record for RBIs, is what I heard, for CCW. So it was the most RBIs anybody's ever had in CCW for them. And his year, he continues to get better as a hitter. You know, when it comes to Ben Stant, we've said everything we need to say about him. He is an amazing hitter from the left side and arguably the best hitter that in the East Coast that anybody's seen in the past couple of years. You have Evan Sibbett, and it's funny because this is how good HRL is with the hitting side of things. He almost didn't win West Hitter of the Year because HRL had two more nominees that were also up for West Hitter of the Year in Babyface and Smallpox, and both Smallpox and Babyface on the same team. But it's either of them were so close to winning West Hitter of the Year too. So it just goes to show how competitive HRL just alone that league is in hitting, and to do it with a yellow bat like they had. And like you guys said, you know, there's so much difference between a big barrel and the yellow bat. I mean, look, Brendan Dudas and the CCW guys came to United Wiffle and really struggled with the big barrel bat and the different style. So, you know, they're hungry to come back and prove themselves again next year. So, all three of these guys definitely deserve it and deserve to be in this conversation, but it was overwhelming by our voters, and it has to be a recency bias because people saw what Ben Stant did with a wiffle ball bat, and whether you put a yellow or a big barrel bat in his hand, he is the best hitter currently right now in the game across all platforms. So Ben Stant, for sure, is your national Whiffy Award winner for Hitter of the Year.
That's big. And listen, it's a pitcher's game, but really, when you look at what the Juggernauts did, winning Ma and U-Whiffs, at least for me, what first comes to mind is what Ben Stead did at the plate. And you know, yeah, you don't often do that with wiffle ball, and I think he really deserves this one. You agree, Tom?
Yeah, I agree. A lot of times you think about the pitchers being the biggest impact player, but Stant, I don't think he threw a single pitch at U-Whiff. And yeah, I don't think anyone would argue, like, he was clearly the most important player on that team.
All right, so before...
Although I will say, Sam said even you put a yellow bat in his hand. I don't know if Stant's that great with a yellow bat. I haven't seen him do much.
He was the... When we faced Maul the past couple of years at NWA Tournament, and the first time we played them in Pennsylvania for the Davey Tournament, he hit really well against us. He was like the only one that really hit well against us that year. So we saw him then, and then to see him grow and get better the next year is great. But yeah, I would love to see him more with the yellow bat in his hand.
I'll eat my words, but I haven't personally seen it yet.
Sure.
But he also had to face Nick Lee when we played them, so lefty-lefty stuff.
Two awards left. Pitcher of the Year, Player of the Year. And before we recorded this, we were talking off air, and I said, listen, guys, I am more excited for the Pitcher of the Year winner over the Player of the Year. I'm sorry. I said it off the air, and I have the guts to say it on the air. Because listen to these three names. Caleb Yonkman, Cameron Smith, Dan Widner. Listen, those names. I mean, I'll name the Player of the Year names later. But those three names are bigger than the three names for Player of the Year. And let's go through Yonkman's stats. 7-0 in GBL. No runs allowed in 36 innings. Yes, they play with a poly-molded baseballs, whatever. I've been saying that for 10 years. They're not wiffle balls. 0.39 whip in GBL. And Leroy, 3-0, 1.94 ERA. And a lot of people said, well, Yonkman didn't throw as much in these local leagues because he was saving his arm. And the dude played in three Grand Slam championships. He won one. He had quite the year. Let's go to Cam Smith, though. 8-2. I don't know how this guy lost twice, but his ERA, Sam, you were in this league, 0.08. Ridiculous. He allowed one run in 85 innings. 0.31 whip. How do you lose twice? And then Widner, like, I almost feel like he's just like the third guy here. 5-1 in Maw. I heard his stats aren't complete, but 0.29 ERA. He led in Ks with 96. Probably had more. I'm seriously, this is more impressive than Player of the Year. I'm going to say it, Tom. I'm sorry. This is the most impressive Whiffy this year because of these three names. I'll say it. I'll live by it. You agree?
I'm not sure if I agree, but I understand your point of view. I will say, though, I'm pretty sure Caleb Yonkman won two Grand Slams, not just one.
Sorry. Yep, you're right.
For my pick, I feel like I probably should say Whitener because he actually cuts balls for me, and I think he's perhaps one of the best ball carvers out there. But I also, as you may know, I'm pretty anti-scuff ball, and I think the reason he's so good at cutting the balls is the reason he's so good. So I'm actually going to say Cam Smith. I feel like Cam Smith had the best volume numbers. He was pitching at MoWiff. He was pitching at Mid-Atlantic. He was pitching at NWA. He was pitching at UWiff. So I think you know, for a whole season of work, I think the body of work is the most impressive for Cam Smith. So that's why I'm going to go with him.
I mean, this is a heavyweight battle. Three huge names. I mean, Whitner was the number one player last year.
Yeah.
Paul Cook and Caleb Yockman's won player of the year like four times. And Cam Smith, I said his stats are just stupid. This is an award that whatever you say, I won't be surprised, but I'll also be surprised. So what do you got?
Yeah, there's so much you can say about these three guys. You know, obviously, you know, you guys had said that Caleb didn't have as much of a, you know, an in-season statistical year that he's had in the past, which I think held him back from a, you know, a player of the year nomination, things like that from our voters. But voters take into account whatever they want, right? They take into account league play. That's the stats they see. Or, you know, a lot of the voters have been to a lot of tournaments. They watch the tournaments if they're not there, so they can understand the, you know, the, as Tom said, that body of work. And Caleb has that body of work, right? He's played for high-end teams, you know, really great teams in great tournaments. He won the NWA tournament. He obviously didn't pitch in Hometown Cup, but he won the Hometown Cup tournament as well. And Cam Smith, as you said, had a great body of work. You can actually look at numbers, and I kind of wrote down some numbers with Cam, but he had to have pitched the most innings out of any single pitcher in the out of the entire country. I don't know what PLW, Tom, you might say, because you guys had three seasons as it went.
Yeah, but we're not fast pitch. Cam Smith put his arm through the ringer the most this year.
And like you said, the body of work was there. He told me a number that he had a couple weeks ago, if I remember correctly. And he didn't have some playoffs from the SWBL that he pitched in or from like Hometown Cup, because he was their pitcher in Hometown Cup too. So he pitched knuckleballs in Hometown Cup. So just continuing to pitch in other places too. And he said it was over 225 innings of wiffle ball in 1 year. And you could tell his arm was gassed the last couple games at UIF, and he'll be the first one to admit it. He did not have the same velocity he had when he was in MoWIF. And speaking of velocity, Dan Whitener is obviously the best pitcher, you know, in everybody's brain right now, right? You know, he is the face of, you know, Ma coming to pitching wise. He is the face of UIF sometimes, and number one on the drop. Caleb's number two on the drop. You could go with anybody in this one, but the voters gave, it was kind of just across the board, you know, a similar statistic here. Dan Whitener actually received the most second place votes. Caleb Yonkman received the most third place votes, and Cam Smith received the most first place votes, along with the least amount of third place votes, which gives Cam Smith the National Pitcher of the Year. And like Tom said, that body of work, I think, really played into our voters' minds.
Yeah. And as someone who has, you know, try to destroy my arm for a few years now, I really appreciate seeing other people do it.
And he definitely will tell you he worked hard for it all. And, you know, when he hears this and he hears his name, I think he'll finally be like, oh, man, my arm went through the ringer. But, you know, at least other people are somewhat noticing it, too. So Cameron Smith is our National Pitcher of the Year.
Yeah, but listen, Sam, you have to think. He's new around the scene over Yonkman and Whitner. He's not going to throw 85 innings in Mo Whiffs next year because he's going to say, listen, guys, my arm was dead in October.
Yeah, he's going to pull a Caleb for sure.
He's probably going to throw 40 or 50 innings in Mo Whiffs instead of 85. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, he deserves it this year, but he's going to learn his lesson and say, listen, I have to save my arm because, and Yonkman, he's been around for a while. So I understand what you're saying, right?
I want to add to that.
He might not even be there.
Just to anybody listening, this is my first year kind of dialing it back on the fast pitch and taking care of my arm. For anybody listening, please do that. Dominating your local league is not that important. You want to be able to play at the highest level at the end of the year, and you don't want to blow your arm out so that you can play for more seasons. Don't hurt yourself. Although, if you hurt yourself, we're going to vote for you.
Yeah.
I mean, facing off against Cam at MoWIF was just like unreal, and like I saw it firsthand, and like it was impossible to get a read on it. And when he was on my UIF team, I was like, oh my gosh, like when he comes in to pitch, we're not going to lose. And then I saw his velocity tick down by like 10 miles an hour, and the movement just wasn't there. And you're like, okay, like it's going to be a different year for Cam Smith next year.
Yeah. So
deserves it this year for sure, though.
National Player of the Year Whiffy Award. Taylor Briner. He's a rookie. He's not up for Rookie of the Year, but he's up for Player of the Year. Wacky. Grant Miller and Vin Lee from Maw. My goodness, guys, we've had some fun. Let's look at Taylor Briner's 425 batting average, was third in the PLW. His 24 home runs tied for first. But listen to this, guys. He also pitches. And this is crazy. He leads not only in wins, but also saves. 13 wins, 6 saves. His ERA, 2.11. Also leads. Sam, you've been around this sport just as long as me. Have you ever seen a guy lead in saves and wins? Come on. That's ridiculous, right, Sam?
I don't think I've ever seen that before. You know, usually it's a specialized thing. So even Caleb Yonkman this year in Leroy, he had 3 wins and 4 saves. So, you know, he was more of a saves pitcher this year. So
that's representing the West. Let's go to the East. Vin Lee from Maw. I said earlier, the Maw stats might not be complete, but is 3-1, 0.64 ERA. Hitting-wise, 304 batting average, 7 home runs, which tied for first. 1.132 OPS. I mean, you know, Vin Lee. Big player out in Maw. And Grant Miller, he dethroned Caleb Yonkman for Central Player of the Year because we said earlier he's a two-way player. His 67 hits, second in KWL, 609 batting average. 609. Listen, this is not an Orville league where you just toss it in there. 609 in KWL, Sam, Tom, 609 in KWL, that's impressive. This is a guy who played D1 baseball and he's showing it. He was first in the league with his batting average, obviously. His 22 home runs, third in the league. But all of a sudden, the dude learned to pitch. 5-0, 0.86 ERA, which was third in the league. 60 Ks, eighth in the league. He's a two-way player all of a sudden. Grant Miller, Vin Lee, Taylor Briner. Three big names. Sorry. Three big names, Tom G. Who do you got? Who wins this? And don't be a Vegas homer here.
Well, it's too bad, Carl. You know I'm super biased, so I'm going to go with Taylor Briner. He won 3 straight MVPs in PLW, the reigning Cy Young winner. And I know a lot of people might say, oh, the PLW, it's not that deep or talented of a league. Well, you know what? I've seen it all. I've been around the block a few times. And it's not as bad as people think. It's pretty competitive. I'm still like a slightly above average player where I'm a slightly below average player in most super competitive places. I mean,
all these guys are two-way players. Maw.
And Maw's to add to that.
What do you got? Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. To add to that, Taylor Briner also went to some of Peter Maccabee's SoCal Wiffle fast pitch tournaments. He hit a walk-off home run off of Will Marshall in the championship of one of those. He went to the Golden Stick National Championship tournament with a PLW team. And he's just a machine. I mean, people... Even if he doesn't win this year, he's going to win some other year because this dude is good, and I think I'm going to be able to get him to come out to some tournaments next year, hopefully NWA, hopefully UWF, but we shall see.
I mean,
but I will also say that I think from a pure like player, if all of these guys played one-on-one, I think Vin Lee would win.
Wow, okay. Listen, you hear that, Sam? You hear what he said? Listen, this is the number one Whiffy Award. It really is, and Caleb Yonkman has dominated this. So, Tom, I have to ask you one more question. Are you surprised Caleb Yonkman's not here right now? He's not in the running? Are you surprised, Tom?
I mean, yes, but like we've said, I think 3 or 4 times on the podcast, he took care of his arm and kind of relaxed during the regular season, and that's part of why he dominated so much at the end of the year.
All right. We got to end the show at some point. I'm going to go to Sam. He knows the winners. Who wins this, Sam Skinny?
This one was a tough one. You know, Taylor Briner, obviously you said it wasn't up for rookie, but he was up for player, probably because he played three seasons, you know, in 1 year. So it's more like he was the player rather than the rookie, because he was only the rookie once out of those three. And then Vinley, we all know who he is. You know, he's been on the top 10 for the drop for so many times, and incredible player from, you know, any style that he wants to play. And Grant Miller, we also have said too, is this up-and-comer Whiffler. You know, you guys have talked about him before in past podcasts, kind of predicting this guy's future is going to be big, and boy, is it going to be big, because it seems like he's getting better every time and dominating the KWL. Grant also traveling to Maw as well, kind of leading the Great Lakes region, doing decent there, trying to pitch with a clean ball, learning how to pitch with cut, came to UIF as well, you know, and Taylor also traveling to other places too. So you'd love to see, you know, some Midwest and West guys coming to the east side of the country to play in some of the bigger tournaments as well. And guys, I am super excited to reveal this one, because this one had an overwhelming amount of first place votes. It was more than majority and a half. You know, it was out of all of our voters, they have voted for the body of work that Grant Miller put on the field. So Grant Miller is going to be our 2021 Player of the Year, continuing the dominance of the Central Region being the National Player of the Year. And you know, that shows that even there were some East Coast players in the East Coast region for voters that were also voting for Grant Miller too, because they got to see him play. They got to see him play in Maw and at UIF. So it's kind of that recency bias again back at it, but Grant Miller putting in some great stats in his own league and competing at highest levels around the country.
That's awesome, man. Michigan just cleaned up on the Whiffy Award Show.
I have a little Grant Miller story to tell now that he won. And I also like want to eat my words again for not really talking that much about him during my little segment. At the NWA tournament home run derby, Grant was hitting BP before the home run derby, and I was talking to someone with a beer in my hand, and he hit a ball that landed in between my stomach and forearm, and I caught it, even though I was just talking to somebody, and it was just one of the weirdest things that's ever happened.
Yeah, we probably could have done without that story.
You can edit it out, Carl.
No, it's fine. We have you. What do you want to plug? You can plug your league in Vegas. You can plug anything you want. You have 30 seconds.
I'm going to plug Orchard Grounds. That's the first place I ever really played any type of serious wiffle ball. I won my first championship in a few years in the Fowl Classic, which is their sort of winter after Thanksgiving tournament they do. They play twice a year, and it's all guys I kind of grew up playing with. So if you check those guys out on Instagram, you know, it's sort of what wiffle ball is all about. We still play that sort of backyard base running medium pitch style that a lot of people are familiar with, as most 8-year-olds play that way.
Sam Skibby and Skibby Wiffle Ball, you're approaching 20 years, correct?
Yeah, we got season 20 coming up, something a lot of leagues around the country can't say right now, and we're really excited for that.
What do you want to plug, my friend?
You know, I have a couple things I want to plug, actually, Carl. First, I want to thank you and Tom for being on here, and Tom for giving your insights, and Carl, you know, breaking it down and being the host of the Whiffy Awards again. I appreciate both of you and all the help that you give for not only this show, but also National Whiffle in general in the sport. So I appreciate both of you very much. And But I want to give a couple shout-outs here. I want to give a shout-out first to an up-and-coming league that I think more people should follow, which is Electric City Whiffle.
Yes.
I think what they are doing is going to be really exciting and really fun. And I think that they are taking ideas from other leagues and putting something together that I think is going to be, pardon my pun, but it's going to be electric to watch in 2022. So give them a follow, Electric City Whiffle. I know they're clamoring for some more followers. You know, they only have 67 followers, Carl. You know, and this is going to be a big league, I feel like, in the East region. So coming back to New York, that Hess Field group coming back together. So Electric City Whiffle, give them a follow. And then the other thing I want to plug too, Carl, is, you know, for all of our nominees and for everybody who follows National Wiffle in these award season, I thank you for being, you know, a part of our journey every year. This is meant to be for fun. And Tom and I, and you were talking at the beginning and say, you know, nobody wins anything, right? Nobody wins a trophy or anything like that. It's just, you know, getting nominated or getting recognized. It's just a way to show about all the great Wiffle across the country. Whether your league wins or your person wins, it's all supposed to just be for fun. And, it's and also I want to say too, it's okay to care about winning some of these things. Like, you know, it's okay to say, you know what, I want to, you know, I think it's cool that my peers of, you know, these 18 voters on this committee recognized my body of work throughout the year too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So, you know, it's just something fun that you want to do. Like you said, we're not getting anything out of it, but we hope that you enjoy it. And we love giving attention to some maybe lesser known people and seeing who rises to the top each year. So thank you guys for being a part of this journey.
So listen, we had fun. We had fun, right, Tom?
Sorry, Carl. I did have fun. Yeah, I was stuck on mute.
Merry Christmas. We had a good 2021. Indeed. At some point, you know, this pandemic's going to be over, but I have no doubt 2022 is going to be great. So I thank Sam Skippy for all he does. Tom G, you're so reliable. I can always count on you and Andrew Stone to do a podcast.
I don't think reliable is a word to describe me, but I am a lot of things.
He almost napped through this.
You know, I'm Crow Coffee. You can follow me on Wiffle Juice. I put a lot of content out there. So I thank Sam, Tom, everyone out there. Stay safe out there. And have a great
See ya.
New Year.
See ya.